I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, welcome to the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Kirk and Nolan in the studio. It's always great to be back with you, Dirtbags, for another week and another show. Hopefully you've had a fantastic week, exciting week, wherever you are in the world, listening, living, and hope being involved in baseball in whatever capacity that is. So spring training obviously started last week. Games got going over the weekend. I don't know if there's necessary highlights, maybe if you're a Padres fan and the Machado signing highlight, but certainly some low points for sure already in spring training that we'll talk about tonight and everything in between. So, and of course, what are we? 1 week away, Noli, from WBC opening round kickoff, and so excited about that for sure. There's no question about it. So, but before we get going with the show, we do have to do our shout out to the guys over at Rip Grip Pro, hitting training device that creates that palm up, palm down sensation and feeling to keep you in the zone a long time and a proper time to be able to hit through that ball on the outside, up the middle, and inside. You know what? Tremendous device. Simple, easy, seamless. And really doesn't mess with you mentally, physically, or emotionally. So big proponent of the Rip Grip Pro. So you can find them at ripgrippro.com. And then, of course, our boys are on the team over at the Rope Trainer, the throwing training aid that you can buy right off of our website at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. It's a no-brainer. It really is. Take a look. Look through it. All the information is from data proven, data tested. You'll find it on there. John Smoltz obviously approves it from little leaguers to the big leaguers. And you know what? Reach out to me if you need to know more. Anybody that's been buying them, thank you very much for investing in your baseball career for sure. So, but again, like I said, feel free to contact me, Kirk at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. If you want to find out more about the Rope Trainer, I'll be more than happy to take you through why I believe in it and why we believe in it so much. So we're excited. We're pumped up and we're a week closer to the WBC. We are a week closer to everything and anything that's baseball and Major League Baseball to college ball is going up and lots of interesting storylines on the college baseball as well too. So anything and everything. So hey, we're going to be right back here. Settle in. Get that favorite drink. Be right back here in a second, Dirtbags.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples, and I couldn't miss it.
Ends 415. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Hi, I'm John Smoltz, former Major League Baseball pitcher and current Hall of Famer. I've had the pleasure of seeing so many great products come and go, but the rope is the best I've ever seen. I promise you it's going to help the little leaguer, it's really going to help the big leaguer, and it's going to save those young arms from a lot of injuries.
The rope trainer allows a player to grip an actual baseball or softball while warming up. So check out theropetrainer.com and see why Hall of Famer John Smoltz swears by it. That's theropetrainer.com.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
If you own a business with employees and have not received your COVID ERTC payroll refund of up to $26,000 per employee, you need to act fast as time is running out. ERTCfiling.com has helped thousands of businesses across the country receive over $500 million in government funds. This is not a loan and you do not have to pay it back. ERTCfiling.com consultants will make the process fast and easy and at a fee of less than 2%. Let ERTCfiling.com show you the money. Go to ERTCfiling.com to see how you qualify.
Fees are at fixed rates per quarter qualified, 2% based on total average rates.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolly, lots of things to talk about, lots of comments coming in from all the dirtbags around the world, thoughts and opinions to us and stuff like that. So where do you want to go? Where do you want to start today?
Yeah, I'll start with me eating my own words within what, basically a day of me saying it ain't happening. He's going to be a free agent because he's a man of not his word. Manny Machado making me look like a fool by saying that self-imposed deadline. Now, I mean, I don't blame him for taking that contract that he got offered. 11-year, $350. San Diego Padre for the remainder of his MLB career. No opt-outs. Full no-trade clause. Signed until he's 42 years old. I mean, we've been talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. San Diego Padres, where the heck are they coming up with this money? Now, I was obviously wrong on the Manny Machado thing, but I think it's safe to say that basically they offered him this money because Juan Soto, whatever they've thrown at him, he's already said, hey, I'm testing free agency. That's the only thing going on in my head at the fact that like anything like this could even happen. Because Juan Soto obviously is the guy that kind of you want to re-sign, obviously based on age and kind of the way that he's been offensively up until this point in his career, minus that second half stretch that he had with San Diego last year. Defensively, I mean, Juan Soto, he's already had the play of the spring out in left field on a routine fly ball hit out to him that he dropped. So, I mean, that doesn't surprise anybody. They're going to have an adventure out there in the outfield with the San Diego Padres, with Tatis being a right fielder and Juan Soto being a left fielder. Soto's not good defensively. I mean, I've said it for a couple of years. I'm sticking by that statement, even with him trying to figure out a new position. I can't see him doing that well. Tatis couldn't play shortstop, so they got to move him out to the outfield. Grisham's actually good. Like, he'll man center field perfectly for him. But
we see it with the Toronto Blue Jays, right? Look at what they did this offseason. They totally overhauled their outfield. Move Springer over to right, bring in Kiermaier, bring in Varsho, make the trades. You know, Teoscar, I mean, obviously offensively for years, Teoscar's been great since we got him from the Astros.
And he won a gold glove a couple of years ago, though. That's kind of the thing. Like, Teoscar's not a bad defensive outfielder.
He's not in that upper echelon, right? And so, like you said, right, all of a sudden, that's a great team that, boy, there's a lot of balls make it to the outfield. So, you know, and you know what it's like. I mean, the little bit of outfield that you played or a little bit of outfield I played way back in the day or whatever, you make a mistake in the outfield, you know there's nobody behind you. So that does mess with your head. And you don't get over that. right? Like even though you know maybe center's covering me or right or left are covering me if I'm a center fielder, man, you drop those balls in there, all of a sudden now you're not as aggressive and free and going and making those plays. And Tatis, I mean, that's an experiment. That's an experiment for sure. I mean, he's moving from shortstop out there.
Well, especially with the right field.
Don't know what we're going to get with that.
With the right field porch there in San Diego, like that's an awkward park as it is, let alone for there to be a guy just trying to figure it out on the fly that's, as far as we know, never played outfield. Like, I don't know if he played outfield in the minor leagues or not. Obviously, his entire career with the Padres has either been basically at shortstop or experimenting out in center field because he sucks at shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, he would have grown up playing there and stuff. I don't know. Very interesting. But back to the Manny Machado, I guess, where you went with at first. Three guys over $300 million in that lineup now. And nobody in the world, I don't think, thinks of San Diego as a big market team yet.
No, and that's the thing. And they have, what, so, five guys over $20 million a year?
Yeah.
Like with Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Machado, Tatis, and Bogarts.
And you gave up.
And then Soto, obviously, with arbitration as well. But
yeah, you gave up some potentially really good players for Soto. They gave up, you know, some other guys in the moves before that, right? So there's a lot on their plate right now. Like you and I were talking about it. You know, are they looking at it from how much salaries have escalated over the last 12 years, let's say, to sit there and go, well, they used to be, you know, 12 million used to be high. Now it's 30 seems to be an average. In this case, 35 for the guys all the time. So are they projecting out another 10 or 12 years again? Or are they just looking at winning the World Series and then we'll sell them on the high? I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, the craziest thing about it all is I'm kind of getting off topic here with the San Diego Padres. I'm jumping over to the LA Angels. You think about it at the time, Mike Trout signs for $35 million. Like $35 million a year. And that was like, holy cow. Like obviously, I mean, Alex Rodriguez was basically the first $200 million man in baseball. Pujols follows up right after him with the 240, Miguel Cabrera, those guys. Obviously, their contracts, I wouldn't say necessarily panned out. But like at the time, I mean, well, yeah, Stanton too. So either way, no, you're looking at it and all these contracts, it's huge risk trying to sign all these guys until their mid-30s, late-30s at all this money because it's proven up to this point based on the guys that we've seen that it hasn't worked out. So, I mean, hopefully these guys, it's a different generation, obviously, like that. And these aren't first basemen that are getting the money. Like Miguel Cabrera and Alex Rodriguez, I get it, they were third basemen, but more or less by the end of their careers were essentially a first baseman. Like A-Rod was still half decent defensively at third base, but he was more or less a DH by the end of his career. But anyways, so you're looking at him, Mike Trout, right? You could very easily flip that contract now because everybody seems to be getting the $35 million, like you said. I mean, the Padres got three guys right there that are making $35.
Well, you'd think they'd almost be gun-shy about it because it happened to themselves with the first guy they did, Tatis. Look at what he's done since he signed it.
Yeah. No,
he finished that year right in the MVP hunt or whatever and that, but then the shoulder issues, as we projected a long time ago, as soon as he came up, flared up with it, and last year was a complete write-off. So you're not getting 1 cent back. Now, like we always say, for sure, you sell all those jerseys right up front, but that's right up front. After that, if you're not saving it, are they spending those jersey sales on the next player? Is that the domino game that they're playing? And that's a risky game. That's a risky game, man.
Well, because even that, though, it's not like Machado can really generate them revenue anymore at this point. No,
he did that when he came over in the first place.
No, exactly. That's the thing. So it's like, okay, is this reconciliation almost on their part because he made them money? He was basically the first, well, I mean, he was the first big-name good player that they actually got. Like, Will Myers was obviously the first guy there. Then Eric Hosmer and stuff like that. And Eric Hosmer was a good player, but, I mean, he wasn't the level that Machado was.
No.
Obviously, Machado's coming in. He's got the all-star resume. He's got the whole nine yards, right? Hell of a player. Obviously, this year finishes second in the MVP race behind Goldie.
So, exactly, like, though. Maybe the money they made off of the Soto trade or whatever in jersey sales is now gone to Machado. Maybe that's where they had the money to go to him, right? Because, like you said, I'm sure you're never going to hear about it. You're never, ever going to hear about it. But maybe he just told them straight up, $500 million, I'll sign. Anything less, I'm not signing.
This is Juan Soto that he's talking
about.
Yeah,
Juan Soto I'm talking about. Yeah. And maybe they just said, no, that is a point where we are not going to go there.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I wouldn't pay Juan Soto $500 million.
I wouldn't pay anybody.
I wouldn't pay Juan Soto $350 million.
I wouldn't. You have to be guaranteed that you're going to win a World Series. And obviously, there's no guarantee.
No.
There's none at all.
No, so, and that's the thing, too. Like, Devers got the money that basically Juan Soto should get. And that's kind of where Juan Soto should set his, basically his floor, I guess. Because they're more or less the same player.
Yeah.
Like Devers, I mean, don't get me wrong. Devers has improved at third base, like, immensely, because everybody talked about it right when he came up. He's going to be a glorified DH / first baseman after a few years. And you know what? Devers has held his own at third base for about as best as he can. Oh. Now, I don't know how it's going to be this year, because obviously Bogaerts helped him out a lot with his defense. Like, that's the one good thing, right? You get a great shortstop, they make your third baseman better. You look at, obviously, and I mean, it works obviously both ways too, right? Like the Jays, you look at it, you get Matt Chapman, all of a sudden it frees up Bo Bichette, so then that way he doesn't have to go to his backhand as much. So, I mean, you get pros and cons to both of them. But either way, no, I'm just looking at it, and like Juan Soto, I'm sorry, I don't know where you're going to go, but basically you got to test free agency, unless somehow the Padres, they find more money out of their pot.
They have to win the World Series.
Yeah, that's
it. It's World Series or bust. There's no ifs, ands, or buts right now. It has to be. So every injury that happens to them this year is to me, is catastrophic for them. Because like you said, they're not as deep in the prospect avenue anymore. They're not as strong right out of the gate until we get to see them play in the outfield. You hit the nail on the head. We don't know what that outfield really ultimately is going to look like with those guys. Defensively.
Yeah.
Offensively, we can speculate. But even Soto, 250 average or whatever in that last year. I mean, yes, he led walks, but
crazy how just 6 months ago we were talking about AJ Preller possibly being fired. Anyways, dirtbags, we'll be right back here after the break.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Noli, where are we going to go? Are we going to go with highs? Are we going to go with lows? What way do you want to start?
So we'll go with the lows to start out with this week. Ooh. So obviously you got some injuries already mounting up. You got Tyler Glass now out 6 to 8 weeks with an oblique. You got Saya Suzuki out with an oblique. You got Joe Musgrove out with a broken toe. Three big key features and lineups there. I mean, obviously Tyler Glass now, he's had the injury history. Like he's officially hamstrung the Tampa Bay Rays because I don't know how they're going to deal with that contract next year of $20 million. Obviously, this year it's only $5 million, so it's not the biggest hit. But you can't even trade him now because he's never gone over 15 starts in a season.
And we know obliques are just brutal for pitchers. We see it with Scherzer all the time. And I bring up Scherzer because he's probably got it so figured out from having it every year for about the last five or six, it seems like, that he really is about 2 weeks, isn't he? He seems to be able to manage it, control it, get ahead of it when it happens too in that. And that goes to the team themselves being able to trust him that, you know what, get him out as quick as we can and we get him back on the field as quick as we can, that he's not going to try to pitch through that. But Glasnow, Rays, they need him. They need him. In the East, he's got to be on the field. And boy, 6 to 8 weeks minimum. To me, that tells me that he's thinking about the arm issue still, right? He's protecting it. He's altering the mechanics, altering the body. And those are the repercussions of it. And it's just so, it's so hard mentally to get over that, to really put yourself in the most confident position mentally that you can. And as soon as I saw that one, I was like, man, he's going to be dealing with this the rest of his career. So talk about handling him with baby gloves.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not much you can do in that situation. Like, yeah, obviously the Tommy John, he was blaming it on the baseballs when they made the changeover, but like at the end of the day, like he's just had a plethora of injuries that, yeah, it's just too tough to even try and figure out what the heck's up with him. Gavin Lux, though, let's jump into that one. That's the big one that came out. And so obviously he's
didn't
running.
See that one, Nolan, or whatever. It's worth looking at the video.
No, even. It's not. No, it's really not because it was pretty nasty. Anyways, so basically he's running to third base on a ground ball hit to the left side. Right, there's a guy behind him at first base, so obviously he's got to go. Anyways, basically stumbles on his way over to third base, like no real reason behind it or anything like that. It didn't look like he had a rut. And all of a sudden, yeah, just his knee buckled backwards and his ankle got rolled up a little bit too. So, I mean, ends up tearing his ACL and is done for the year.
And what, they're, you know, talk about looking at him at third base even with them for this year, right, to replace Justin Turner.
Yeah.
You know, you got Turner all those years. You kept re-signing him all those years. And kudos to Turner. Boston stepped up when they lost Bogart, signed him for what? Multiple years, 2 years.
Yep.
Guaranteed. So, you know, Dodgers were only going to do one at a time or whatever. So kudos for him. But holy boy, if you're the Dodgers right now.
No, that's the thing. The Dodgers are in a hell of a predicament.
You lose Turner.
Both Turners.
You lose both Turners. Both Turners. Yeah.
You that's lose the Trey best Turner yep. and Justin Turner.
Yep.
So now you have the whole left side of the infield to replace. Ooh. You get Gavin Lux, who, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, now he's done for the year. So essentially you lose three infielders all before the regular season even starts out. Now I get it. Chris Taylor can play infield. He's a fallback option, but I mean, when you lose Cody Bellinger, I'd imagine their plan was kind of to stick him out in the outfield
for sure,
at least in a timeshare.
Yeah, and he had done well out in the outfield over the last two and a half, three years or whatever, and that he made that transition very well and very smooth. And he's an athlete at the end of the day. I think he's more an outfield athlete than an infield athlete at this point in his career, right? He's got the ability, but boy, do you sit there and go, as the Freddie Freeman family go, geez, I didn't see that a year out after signing. Holy cow.
No, like that's kind of the thing, right? So, I mean, obviously, the Dodgers are still a great team. Sure. They still have a top-notch farm system. It's not like there's any real pressing issue to find a replacement right away. I'm sure you're going to let the guys kind of see who plays it out in spring training, but don't be surprised if the Dodgers are on the phone trying to make a call for any sort of infield help. And I know that there's quite a few teams out there, aka I'm looking at the St. Louis Cardinals, that have a lot of depth on the infield. I mean, like,
well, even, maybe even the outfield if you decide to do the Chris Taylor thing, right?
Well, even the even here's an interesting one, right? So Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Biggio, I'd say for the most part, hasn't panned out.
Good call.
Right? Kevin Biggio, I'd say, needs a fresh start, if anything like that. Like, he's a proven major leaguer, but he's not going to get a lot of playing time with the Jays, obviously. Being blocked by Whit Merrifield and I mean, obviously, their outfield situation right now.
He's that super utility, right?
No, exactly. So that's kind of why I'm looking at it. Like, he'd make a lot of sense for the Los Angeles Dodgers left-handed stick. They like their lefties down there. Like, really, outside of, like, I'm just trying to think of Dodgers roster right now that they have, like, superstars. You got Freddie Freeman, you got Will Smith, you got Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Like, the rest is kind of a position battle, I'd say, for the most part.
Well, and I feel horrible for Gavin Lux, right? Mm-hmm. There's a guy that came up, was, you know, top prospect in all of baseball, came out of the playoffs that year, looked legit. He looked the part, right? Yeah. And then has just never gotten it back over the last 3 years that he's been there. And so the door opens. He's got the opportunity to play, I would think, more relaxed because it is a lot more open now.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time in his career with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And now that, like, I feel so bad for the kid, man. Like, it's you put on the serious glasses for a second and perspective. And, yeah, it's just, it's terrible, man, for the kid. Terrible. Obviously, it's bad for the Dodgers, but, you know, it's a shame to see a young guy like that have that happen and stuff. So, hopefully, his youth can bring him back strong and healthy and get back in the lineup. Obviously, you come back a lot quicker from an ACL than you used to, but that's still probably September. Best case scenario.
Nah, he's done for the year.
I would think so.
With the way that it looked on video, there's no way that you're reconstructing that knee back in 6 months.
And it goes right back to the Tyler Glasnow thing, right? Now you got your legs, and as an infielder, you need your legs under right? And hitting. And every part of the game, you need your legs. So now he's got that on his mind for, and if they're with the Padres at that time or whatever in the playoff hunt, which they probably should be, you're not feeling too comfortable if he's not 100% confident himself.
No, exactly. But yeah, it completely opens up the door for other teams in that NL West to leapfrog the Dodgers now. Like, I get it, Gavin Lux isn't that ultimate deciding factor on the Dodgers lineup. Like, you're not looking at that lineup and being like, oh man, I got to face Gavin Lux. But end of the day though, he's still a serviceable MLB player that's been around for a while. And I mean, he was going to be one of their starting position players, whether it be in the outfield or whether it be at second base, third base, wherever he was going to play. Cause I know he's played all those positions, right? So it's one of those things that, it's a very tough pill to swallow if you're him and the Dodgers.
Got to feel good if you're the Diamondbacks.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
And like you said, the rest of the West, right? Well, really good if you're the Padres or whatever. Again, he's not a game changer, but he was going to be one of the anchors on that field regularly, whether he performed or he didn't. We didn't know because the season hasn't started, but those are such tough things to see in spring training and so disappointing when they come in spring training. But, you know, for me, real quickly before we move on, it goes back to that. It's almost like they're so physically strong, the players nowadays, that we're seeing this over and over again, right? It's almost like they don't have any extra weight to allow the these oblique injuries, these Tommy Johns, these ACLs, whatever it is, ankle sprains even, stuff like that. It just seems like they're so wound tight that this happens so often. It's crazy how often it happens. And I don't know if it's overtraining. You're never going to know the real answer or whatever. And that's just a speculation. It's just a comment by me or whatever and stuff like that. But it just seems like it happens so quick and so fast when it does happen. So severe too.
For our older listeners, Kirk's saying to hop on the John Kruk diet. Beers and cigarettes after each game in the weight room instead of actually lifting the weights. But
Mickey.
Yeah.
All the old Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
But, all the old plays.
Anyways, jumping over, Tony Clark makes some headlines this week. We're never going to agree to a salary cap.
Boy, that's a pretty tough statement for him to make, isn't it, as the head of the Players Association? Yeah.
No, exactly. Like, that's the thing, right? So, I mean, do I think that basically teams being able to spend as much money as possible is good for the game. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I don't think so in my head. I think that there should be a salary cap. But at the same time, I think they need to come up with a low, like a floor salary cap like they do in every other sport, right? Baseball is the only North American sport that doesn't have a hard cap one way or the other. To me, no matter what, I think they got to address a floor salary cap first.
We've said that.
Because the Player Association will agree to that.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, and I get it, owners, that's the tougher sell because you got teams like Oakland, you got teams like Baltimore who in past years, I mean, obviously, they've been basically bottom of the barrel. Cleveland recently, Tampa Bay, Miami Marlins, even to an extent more recently so than kind of what they've done in years past. But like you're looking at teams like that and they're basically right around that $40 to $65 million range. And we've always said, even the Pittsburgh Pirates, basically we've always said kind of that $70 to $75 million range is kind of like the absolute floor that every major league team should be at. Because, like, I mean, you look at it. Every team's worth over $1 billion.
Two months ago, well, not quite. We're not in March yet. But back in January, Steve Cohen bluntly said it, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's not my job, the other teams. They don't want to spend. That's their. They own it. They do what they want. But I'm going to spend whatever it takes to win a World Series.
Yeah.
No, and so that's, he just openly, bluntly said it.
Well, that's the thing. No, like I agree with Steve Cohen. Like, hey, if you have the money, spend it. Absolutely, you can get away with it. But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, do I think some teams just go overboard like the Mets did? Yes.
Oh,
Padres,
100%.
Yes. But at the end of the day, though, it's their prerogative. It's the ownership's money. They can do whatever they want to. So, I mean, I get where he's coming from on the, yeah, we will never have a salary cap because at the end of the day, they got all these TV deals and everything like that. Depends on what Bally's going to do, obviously, because that's coming out.
Just going to say
that. But either way, you're looking at it, man. Every team's got money, so I get where he's coming from, but I do believe that it is bad for baseball.
Horrible. For me, I agree with you 100% because the ticket prices and everything else. So, Dirtbags, we do have to take a break, but we will be back here to carry on.
Hi, I'm John Smoltz, former Major League Baseball pitcher and current Hall of Famer. I've had the pleasure of seeing so many great products come and go, but the rope is the best I've ever seen. I promise you it's going to help the little leaguer, it's really going to help the big leaguer, and it's going to save those young arms from a lot of injuries.
The rope trainer allows a player to grip an actual baseball or softball while warming up. So check out theropetrainer.com and see why Hall of Famer John Smoltz swears by it. That's theropetrainer.com.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer, Michelle.
As an entrepreneur, every day is different. My phone bill from Cricut, on the other hand, always stays the same. Without surprises, hidden fees, or annual contracts, I can work worry-free.
That's Michelle, everybody, doing business like a boss. Smile, you're on Cricut.
Real customer paid for testimonial. See CricutWireless.com for details.
Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for sports stuff you definitely could not do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Quote Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart, and I have a question for you. You know that unwelcome guest everyone wishes would just leave already? That's COVID-19. That's why I got an updated booster designed to help protect against recent Omicron variants. Got it? Check eligibility and schedule your updated COVID booster at vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. I did just want to wrap that up, Nolan, before we move on, because we've had a lot of comments brought in about exactly what we're talking about and the amount of money being thrown out there and stuff like that, and the cost of tickets and everything else. And it really does have to become a threshold. You know, when we look at the whole economy overall in North America, you know, inflation's everywhere. And there's just a point where you got to give up on something. And, you know, sporting events are a big area where you don't want to give up on, but that's what happens. And you made another comment quickly, is Bally Sports, all the regional, seems like they're everywhere, right? Regionally televised games for everybody. And like you said, what, they just announced that they were broke. So obviously, you know, they've got to take a good look at this and figure out how to do it, because there has to become a point, and I know we've said it forever and ever, there has to become a point, but I think it really is at a tipping point right now. So for Tony Clark to say that, obviously he has to say it, and you're going to say that, and it looks all good, but boy, I'll tell you what, when all of a sudden the numbers on revenue coming in to pay the players isn't there, the owners aren't going to have any part of that. They're just going to dig their heels in, and that's the right of an owner. Whether you like it or not, yeah, they're billionaires. We've said it before here on the show. But hey, every successful business did not become successful by losing money. So at some point, they're going to say, no, we're done. We're stopping. Because even to sit there and say, hey, we're going to buy it. Look at there. Angels. There you go. I'm sure he explored with people that he knew that were wealthy enough to buy the Angels this year. But nobody stepped up. They probably told them, you know what, we love watching it, but we're going to be spectators. We're not going to be owners, because you guys aren't doing the right stuff necessary for everything. One, to be profitable in a sense that's comfortable for me as a buyer. Two, for the fans. Two, for the audience. And so something's wrong. And it's as simple as that for me. I don't know. Send in your opinions for sure. Love to hear them. Love to read them, as we always do. So send them in. Kirk at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. Excellent. And that's what we do it. We love it. We encourage you. Please, please, please send them in. We love it. So having said that, Nolan, let's carry on. And lots of comments through the first 4 days of games in spring training on the new rules. We've seen a bit of everything so far, right? Saw the Braves Red Sox. Brave gets called out. The automatic strike, taking too long, ends the game, bases loaded, nothing on the line because it's exhibition. He has a laugh, he has a joke, he has a smile about it.
Well, I mean, it was a sarcastic laugh and joke about it, but yeah, no, I mean, like, that's the new rule, and especially if you're a minor leaguer, you should already know the rules coming up. Yep. And I mean, that guy, unfortunately, I don't know who it is off the top of my head, the guy that struck out.
No.
But I'm assuming he was a minor leaguer, so therefore he should be used to the rule, right? So it's one of those things. Now, on the flip side, you look at it, Max Scherzer there, on Monday afternoon, he strikes out Joey Meneses, the Nationals. Right fielder for the Nationals, yep. In 27 seconds or something like that, 21 seconds, three pitches, three strikes, you're out. Like, yeah. and we just get the ball and just goes, man. Seriously though, I'm all in favor.
I like what I've seen. I like what I've seen in that. I watched Jays Yankees a little bit on Saturday, and the Jays right now, looking at it, it's almost like they're going the other way. They're coming set really early in it, and then using that last 8, 9, sometimes 10 seconds to then hold the ball and make that hitter get a little bit uncomfortable. They had a great backdoor pick at second base where Whit Merrifield snuck in, Runner, hey, he was caught dead to rights. He had to carry on over to third. It was an easy throw over to Chapman, throw him out. So you're seeing a lot of good integration. You're starting to feel what baseball's hoping that it will create. You know, I think everybody out there has made a comment or something like that, and ourselves included. Boy, you have no idea the little bit of difference in the bases until you see the old style to the new style side by side in real life. It's like a video game almost, how big it looks. It's like you're thinking, wow, this is like a joke. It can't be that much difference. They're huge. And it's just so foreign to us to look at. But again, it's all new to us, right? And I don't know. Like you said, I'm excited about it. I like what I'm seeing. The hitters don't have time to fool around. I think it creates that freedom that we've talked about before. Through Matt Carpenter, for example. It's very interesting to watch it. Good for the umpires. They seem to be adjusting very well to it. I'm sure they've had the whole off season to be prepared and getting going with it. I'd be curious to see how many guys they've moved up from the minor leagues that are trying involvement in the spring training games to see if they can do it at the major league level with those guys. So far, been very, very happy with it, I guess. I don't know if it's positive, but for me personally, I've been happy with it. I don't know. Noli?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely going to be some adjustments getting used to it as a fan, but you're looking at the pace of play and everything like that. Like, that's what they're trying to speed up. And the average time's been, what, I think
228, I think I saw. No, I think
228. Is that what it's down to now? Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I saw it after the third day, and it was down to about 238.
It might have been 238.
238, 240 mark, somewhere around there. And I was just sitting there like, the games feel quick. There's a lot of action. And let's be honest, all right? It's not like there's hit and runs that are happening in today's day and age. There's not bunts. There's not a lot of signs being given by a coach. Like, at the major league level, there's just not that stuff happening. So the only thing that it's really affecting is whether a pitcher's going to throw me a slider or whether he's going to throw me a fastball in this count, right? Like, it's purely up to the batter. But at the same time, I think that it should free up hitters. So then that way you're not getting in there and thinking, aka exactly what Matt Carpenter said last year. He gets sent, or he signs with Texas after getting released by the Cardinals, basically. And then pretty much just, okay, here we go. I got to figure it out. Goes down there, boom, boom, boom. Gets the pitch clock, figures out, okay, you know what? Now I'm not thinking in the box as much. I'm just going up there. I'm swinging the bat. Let the pitch dictate what I'm going to do with it, right? So to me, I feel like major leaguers, they will adjust to it as spring training goes on. Now the challenging thing is going to be those guys going to the World Baseball Classic. All of a sudden, they're going from the pitch clock to no pitch clock at the World Baseball Classic. And then going back to basically last two weeks of spring training where there is the pitch clock again. So for them, it'll be a little bit more of an adjustment period. Overall, I think it's going to be good for the league. I think enough people will eventually come around to it. I've never played with it, so I'm not speaking from a first-hand basis or anything like that. I'm just taking a look at it, seeing the pace of play, and seeing all the action that's actually happening. I think it will bring up the excitement of fans.
And again, it's spring training, but for one example, what was it? Cardinals versus the Mets in that game? Was it Cardinals and Mets that was like, it ended up 12-7 or whatever. Yeah. There was a pitching change every single inning almost. Yeah. Now, you're not going to see that in the regular season. I get that.
No.
But it was still 2.5 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think it was 2 hours and 48 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, so much action as that, they shaved off at least probably 15 minutes. And you saw about as much stuff as you possibly could see in a game.
No, and that's the thing, too. And even the shift.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing, obviously, there's no shift rule anymore, right? So, basically, I guess there technically is a shift rule, but the shift rule is now,
modified,
if you're a shortstop, you got to have at least 2 feet on, basically, the right-hand side of second base, like, and on the actual shortstop side in the dirt. And as the second baseman, you got to have, obviously, the other way if it's a righty. You got to have 2 feet on the second base side of second base with 2 feet in the dirt. And you're seeing a lot more guys getting hits up the middle and pulling it through those 4-6 gaps and 6-4 gap, obviously, depending on what side the hitter hits, right? So, I mean, either through the shortstop side or through the second base side is what I'm saying. So I'm all in favor of it. I think it's creating more offense. The stolen bases. Now, you haven't seen any of the balk. Seen any of the balk rules called into effect on a pitcher doing more than two pickoffs yet? I haven't seen it, at least.
But I did notice a little bit in a couple of the games. It didn't look like the pitchers were really coming to sometimes to really good pauses. There was almost like a three-quarter point where they would pause, and then they would just slightly lower their hands again. I did see that a few times, and I was waiting for a balk to be called or whatever and stuff. The other part that I really liked that I was hearing from announcers during them, the games that we were watching, was the fact that umpires still do have the common sense flexibility, right? They've been able to, hey, guy gets dirt in his eye or whatever and that, hey, give him time. Now, I get it. It's common sense, right? If he comes in three times in a game and does it every time, you're probably not going to get the time called on the third one, right?
Yeah, you're going to get a strike against you, type of deal.
Or you have dirt in your eye one time and then your shoelace is done the next time. No. You're playing the game, you know? So, again, it's nice to have that ability for an umpire to make a common sense judgment, whether they're on the bases, whether they're and teams will learn that, right? Teams will learn how to utilize it to get a little bit of a break or a second longer. Or like I said, right, they're probably working on it right now in the fact that all of a sudden your pitcher was out there, he gave up a three spot, and the first two guys are out in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Probably that third batter, he's got to figure out, how do I do this? How do I maximize my 8 seconds every single time? How do I maybe throw in a shoelace or a time at the last second or whatever and pretend there's dirt in the eye or whatever?
Well, they'll figure out how to manipulate it and everything like that. But I mean, still though, for the most part, it's not like anybody's really tried to manipulate it. Like, they've all been pretty good about it, and the umpires have been pretty consistent with calling it a strike and everything like that. Or calling it, actually, well, I haven't really even seen too many umpires call it a ball yet for a pitcher taking it a late game.
I haven't seen one, nope.
But yeah, like the strikes, man, they've been pretty consistent with it. And that's the thing. Like, it's black and white in the rule book. As a hitter, get in there, be ready to hit. Don't mess around. Don't try and do anything fancy.
Well, for the pitchers, you and I talked about it, right? And we'll go back to Scherzer, I assume Verlander, any Wainwright, any veteran pitcher. If they do it and they implement it, Scherzer's a proponent of it, obviously, because he is a rhythm and a tempo guy. He wants to work fast. He is that Mark Burley of this generation, right? And he lives it and dies it. But any of those good seasoned veteran pitchers that we talk about that gravitate and execute it well, that leaves no excuses for the younger pitchers to even make a comment, whether they like it or they don't like it. They just have to do it. And it's the reality of where it's going. Same with the hitters. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to wait until probably, what, middle of May to really get a good gauge of how those upper echelon hitters are doing with it. Does it break their rules? Does it, break their timing? You know, it's humorous right now. Like I've had some conversations with people. You go back to Nomar Garciaparra, for anybody that's old enough and listening to that former shortstop with the Red Sox way back in the day, and the Dodgers, I guess, at the end of the career. But, I don't know if he could exist in this, because he'd get in there and then he had to undo the batting gloves. He had to do them back up. He had the whole routine, right? So it'd be interesting to watch those types of guys, see how they could do, or even make a comment, see what their comments would be about the new changes and whether they could play in this. Again, they'd adapt and make the adjustment and survive, but that's what makes it great, man. Let's give it a honest effort and see what it looks like by the end of next October. Dirtbags, we will be right back with Nolan's final thoughts.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call.
800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. That's 800-824-5131.
Welcome back. Noli, final thought.
So on Tuesday, I don't know if anybody saw this or not, but I thought that this was pretty cool. The Pirates and the Orioles playing in Pittsburgh's spring training site. I don't know where that is exactly off the top of my head. But either way, they're playing in Pittsburgh's site. Pittsburgh's up 7-4 going into the bottom of the ninth, right? So the game's technically done. Umpires walk off the field. What do? Because it's spring training, they keep the game going. So they play out the bottom of the ninth, even though Pittsburgh's up 7-4, have technically won the game, right? But they're trying to get all their players extra work and everything like that. Pittsburgh obviously trying to get more reps. I'm sure Baltimore wanted their pitcher to get more reps, so then that way they could actually see what's going on here. And yeah, so basically they played the bottom half of the ninth inning without any umpires on the field. That's little league stuff, man. I like that. I was actually very surprised that they kept the game going and everything like that, and all the players, it seemed like, wanted to go about it. Now, obviously, you're going to have some arguments happening between the batter and the catcher on whether a borderline calls a strike or a ball. But at the end of the day, man, you know you're a professional. You know that's going to be basically the way that the game's going to go in a couple of years or next year, whenever they officially bring in the robo umpire for behind the plate anyways. So pretty much, man, just go out there and be ready to hit.
That is awesome. Backyard baseball, sandlot baseball with the boys. Get the extra work in. That's what spring training should be all about, for sure. Absolutely. I love that. Good for them. Dirtbags, you know we do it for you. We cannot do it without you. So stay part of the nation. Keep spreading the message. Be that dirtbag on the field, off the field, every day of your life, because that's the only way to be. Roll it up, get after it, and get dirty every single day. If you're looking for any apparel, looking for the rope trainer, head on over to our website, www.dirtbagbaseballnation.com. Got it all there for you. All right. You need a question answered? You need training advice? Contact me, Kirk@dirtbagbaseballnation.com. Doesn't have to be just for me. It can be for Nolan. It could be for Braden. It could be for anybody here. And we will get on that phone with you, and we will make it happen. We will get on a video conference call with you, and we will make it happen. On a final note for me, I am heading back over to France tomorrow. So next week, I will be in the studio in France. Nolan will be in the studio right here where we always are. And we can't wait to just keep rolling and seeing what the next week brings. So, Nolan, it's time of the week. Get up, get after it, and get dirty. Nolan, do what you do.
Hey, thanks for listening once again, Dirtbags. Stay tuned because it's going to be a hell of a ride.